Good morning, everybody. I am Dave. I am the kids guy here at EBIC, and I am excited today to be here with you big ones in big church here and everything. This morning, we are talking about celebration, and that's why I did these balloons for celebration. This is the third message in our series, Don't Turn Back, that is in particular looking at this past year and kind of how we've been dealing with COVID and everything. Now, this past year, it has been tough, no doubt about it. There has been many things that that have been different. Matter of fact, some of you in school, you might have missed out on activities, on special dances, on some sporting events, musicals, hanging with friends, all sorts of things. Some of you in the business world, your job looks completely different right now than it did a year and a half ago. Some of you might have even lost your job, as we heard earlier. Some of you might be working a different job. Some of you who own businesses, your business might be a whole lot slower right now. But if you're one of the ones who maybe makes boxes for Amazon, good for you. Good for you. You're doing well. But without a doubt, things have changed. Our vacations that were planned look different than they did. Some of us have lost friends or loved ones. They have died, whether it be cancer or COVID or any number of things. But we were denied the chance to grieve as we normally would, maybe by attending their funeral. Some people have planned weddings for years, dreamed of it, but it looked completely different than what they were thinking about. And there's no doubt, as we have gone through this past year, and when we have had to deal with these things, there's no doubt that, you know, we need to go through a grieving process. Now, as we look back on the year, there might be some other things that have happened, and some of them might be some small victories. And what I mean by some small victories, let me just put this on here so I can take a moment. Some of you have an extra stash of this in the back of a cabinet somewhere. And it might be a 12-pack, but depending on what says on the side, that 12-pack might actually be 24-pack, 72, who knows, depending on the math of the toilet paper. But no doubt, a lot of us have some extra of that. A year and a half ago, if I would ask families, what is something that you would like to change? What is something that maybe you would like to have a little different? Families often told me, I would like some more family time. We seem to always be running around this activity, that activity, going here, going there. It'd be nice to have dinner at home once in a while. Well, there's no doubt that that has also happened this year. Now, if you were watching, I just made a little elephant here. Normally on stage, I'd make a bigger thing here, but I did the elephant because if you were watching, the elephant is the only animal in the balloon world that we start with the tail. Everything else we start with a face or an arm. It's the only one that we do backwards. And I love the elephant because of that. It is fun to make because of that very reason. It's a different perspective. You're doing it in the opposite way and things. And today we are doing that. We're looking at a different perspective on things. We are here to celebrate. And as many of you know, I love balloons. I love doing balloon animals, decorating, for weddings, for parties, for grand openings. Balloons, I think that brings a wonderful sense of fun, of whimsy to an event. Many of you might not have thought about it before, but balloons, it's a temporary art. I mean, sure, you know that when you have a balloon, especially if you got a helium-filled balloon, then it shrinks over time. And you know that, okay, that something's going to have to happen to these balloons. But do you realize that after we set up for, say, a store's grand opening and things, we have arches and columns and things, that when we close down, we've got to go in there with a knife or a pin and pop, 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 pop. We've got to take it all down because the next day, they don't want them up anymore. Balloons, it's a temporary art. If there's a birthday party, a wedding, you know, it's up for 4 hours, and then it comes down. It's a temporary art, and it's fun, and it's great and everything, but it is temporary. It's kind of like fruit stripe gum. Now, if you've ever had fruit stripe gum, you know the flavor is intense for the first 24 seconds. And then a minute later, the flavor's gone. And you're kind of chewing something that, what happened to the flavor? It's a temporary flavor, and it's wonderful when it happens. But it doesn't last. See, this morning, we're going to be looking at three things in particular. We're going to be looking at DTR. We are going to be looking at influencer and choose. Now, you might not understand what those are right now, but I think you will in a second as we get into it. And I see some people in their 20s who are kind of laughing at the first one there, and we'll get into it. Now, growing up, both my boys are in college now. Growing up, some of the special memories that we have, the most special to me, involve when we went on missions trips together. Our first missions trip we went on, we took the boys. Our youngest was 3, our oldest was 7. We went to a children's home in Reynosa, Mexico, called Josiah and Bethany Children's Home. It's right across the border from McAllen, Texas. So we drove from central Pennsylvania down there. It was a long drive, especially with 2 young'uns in the car, in the minivan. We got down there. We parked in their office in McAllen, Texas. We ate an early lunch. They came and got us, took us across the border to the children's home. Wonderful time. We unpacked. We were outside playing with the kids. About 5 o'clock, I started looking at my watch. My tummy was grumbling a little bit. We had an early lunch. 6 o'clock comes around. Looking at my watch. Okay, I understand, you know, the different time frame here and things. 7 o'clock comes. We're playing with the kids. The kitchen's right there by the playground. No movement. Lights are off. I'm like, oh, man. 8 o'clock comes around. Still nothing. Eventually, we were able to eat, and what we had was some guava juice and donuts. I didn't realize it at the time, but the children's home had run out of money. They had no money to buy groceries. This was something that somebody donated, some extra donuts and some guava juice. I don't like guava juice, I had water. But I had 2 donuts for dinner. But realizing that they had no money, we were so glad that we were able to give them money for our stay and things. But wow, what a different perspective. We were there for several days, and Sunday morning we were able to go to church with them, and it was wonderful. I mean, these kids, they're non-adoptable children, and they're living in this children's home, and they have one drawer that is kind of theirs. One drawer with their clothes in it. They have like 4 outfits, maybe 5. I think we packed more outfits for each of us than they had, than they owned. But to see their faces Sunday when they were worshiping the Lord, the kids, the teens, the adults, they were just intensely worshiping the living Savior. And it was wonderful and it was powerful. It was so moving to me and to my family to realize here these people who had pretty much no earthly possessions were able to worship the Lord. It was wonderful, and what an eye-opening experience it was for us, and for me in particular, to realize that I own a lot of stuff, and I have a lot of stuff that I think can even get in the way of me worshiping the Lord. You see, I have a lot of possessions. I mean, I've got a closet full of clothes and drawers that are just, got to push the socks in to get them in there, and you know, the toys that we have, the different things, it's amazing the amount of things that we have. And myself, working with kids, I'm always like, oh, okay, I can use that as a prop. I want to use that, so I don't want to get rid of this or that and different things. And many of you realize or know that I just started here January last year, and we were looking to move this past summer. COVID got in the way of that. We just started looking and touring some houses again, and we're getting our house ready to sell. And after 18 years of living in that house, we've accumulated a lot of stuff. We've got stuff everywhere in boxes. We have stuff in the attic, different things. But I'll admit, it's tough to get rid of. I mean, I'm like, I might use that. But I know, and my wife knows, and the boys know, that we will be freer if we don't have that stuff. And we know that we want to get rid of a lot of that stuff before we move because we don't want to move it. But it is tough to get rid of things of this world once you have it. I mean, the Bible tells us in Matthew 6:19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But now we're to what? Store up treasures in heaven. I know that. And I don't think, I'm not a hoarder, but it's tough to get rid of things of this world once you've accumulated it. You see, sometimes I think we can get distracted, and I think that's where the enemy can weasel his way in. He can distract us by things of this world. It helps us to lose our focus on the things that really matter. And that's why I love when I talk to somebody about their faith. When I talk to somebody new in the faith and we're going through salvation, and maybe it's baptism, because it renews my DTR. It renews my, and I'll get to that in a second, it renews my passion for the Lord. My favorite verse in the world is Romans 6:23, where it says, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, we deserve death, eternally separated from God when we sin one time. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, we can live with God forever in heaven if we accept that free gift that he's offering everybody. It's almost like, you know, he's got, you know, these glasses or this pen, and he is just offering it to everybody. And all you have to do is what? Is to accept it. That's all you have to do, is to accept that gift, and you get it. When I talk to people about this verse, I often grab a piece of paper and a Sharpie or a pen, and I put a bunch of dots on the paper. Now, I don't know if you could see it right here, but this is just a piece of cardstock, and I put 100 dots with a Sharpie on that piece of paper. Imagine just for a second that each dot represented 1 year of life. I think a goal a lot of us would have, I want to live 100 years. Can you even see the dots on the paper? Does this piece of paper equal eternity? How many dots would it take to fill up this paper with dots? How many years of your life just to fill up this piece of paper? Eternity, living with God forever, eternal life is tough to understand. Now imagine these dots on the wall. How many dots would it take to turn that wall black with Sharpie? What about all the walls here? What about in the gym? If we include that in the rooms. What if we go down the street to East High Elementary in the cafeteria? The rooms there. What about the high school? The gym, the auditorium, each classroom, the middle school. We're just talking about East High Street. What about Elizabethtown, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania? That's a lot of dots. And that's not even eternity. Eternity is such a tough thing for me to understand. And that's why I love talking to people about their faith, because it helps me with DTR. Now, what does DTR mean? It means to define the relationship. It's something, you know, it's a newer term. I just found out this past month or so that, you know, some people in their 20s, when they go on a couple dates, they DTR. Now, DTR is not a verb. It's not a noun. It's DTR. They don't go and have a DTR. They just DTR. In other words, they define the relationship. Are we boyfriend, girlfriend? Are we just friends? Are we not any of that? And helping, when I talk to people about their faith, it helps me DTR, define the relationship that I have with our living Savior. DTR. When I teach people about faith and salvation, DTR. And that's why I love reading about Paul in the New Testament, because he lived his life DTR. He defined his relationship with the Lord, with the things that he went through. He was sold as, so many things happened. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says the things that he endured. Starting in verse 24, it says, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. He received 39 lashes. 3 times he was what? He was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger of false beliefs. He was in danger all the time. He goes on and says, I know hunger. I've gone without food. He's been cold. He's been naked. Here's what I can learn from this. Here's what I learned from this, that Paul, that he lived an extraordinary life. When he was telling people about Jesus, he was beat up. When he was traveling, he was beat up. But he kept telling people about Jesus. He kept worshiping. In his extreme pain and discomfort, he was worshiping the Lord. He had extreme worship. Matter of fact, if we look at the example that we have when the Apostle Paul is with Silas and he's telling people about Jesus and everything, we find out in Acts chapter 16, it goes on, verse 23 and 24 says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped of their clothes, to be beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Here they are. They were just beaten, clothes stripped of them, beat up. They're probably bleeding from many places. They're put in the inner of the inner cell where there's no light, no fresh air. It's probably damp. Their blood's making some mud. A horrible, horrible place. They're in extreme pain and discomfort. What would I do in that situation? What would you do? Paul and Silas, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. What were they doing? They just got beat up. They just were bleeding from multiple places, probably. They were thrown in this inner cell. They're in extreme pain and discomfort. What do? They have extreme worship. They pray to God. And they worship the living, our living Savior with their voices. And it says, other prisoners were listening. Extreme pain requires extreme worship on our response. I mean, it's not a normal response after you get beat up to go and to pray and go into worship. The things of the world had literally beat them down. But what were they were doing? They were defining their relationship. They were DTRing their relationship with the Lord by singing songs of praise and praying to them in this difficult time. You see, when we worship the Lord with our life, with our actions, with our voices, we bring Him glory, but we also are showing others our relationship with Him. One of the cool job titles right now is on social media is to be an influencer. If you're an influencer, that probably means that you might have, you know, on social media, you might have a whole bunch of followers or downloads on YouTube or whatever it is, because all of a sudden companies are coming and saying, hey, can you wear our brand of clothing? Hey, can you display our water bottle in your posts and things? Now, Nike, Adidas, Titleist, they've been doing this for years for sports and athletes and things like that, but it's just hit the social media in the past couple years, and it's kind of the cool thing to be an influencer in social media, because you're representing the brand and they will pay you for that. But contrary to popular opinion, you don't have to have 1,000 followers. You don't have to have all that many downloads. You don't have to have your business doubling in business to be an influencer whatsoever. No. Jesus never asked us to be an influencer. He told us that we are an influencer. If we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if we've received that free gift and we've put Jesus on the throne, if we've defined our relationship with him, that he is on the throne, that we're living for him, we are already an influencer by our actions and by our voice. We are influencing others for him by the way that we live our lives. You see, every day we also get the opportunity to choose. Every morning when you wake up, you get the opportunity to choose whether you're going to rise and whine about the day and all the problems that there are, or rise and shine for the day. If you're at work and you get a bad email, you get the opportunity to rise, get out of your chair and rise and whine about it to your coworkers, or rise and shine about it. A little side note here, our kids in the preschool this month, they're learning about shining their light for Jesus. And, oops, I had that one on too long. And we gave them all little flashlights so that they can shine the light of Jesus wherever they go. Who doesn't love a flashlight? It shines the light where we go. And how cool is that? And that is what we get the opportunity to do every day, to rise and shine the light of Jesus. You see, when we go through pain, when we go through discomfort, we naturally want to be comforted. And the love of Jesus can comfort us. When I'm sick, if I get a cold or something, I love chicken noodle soup. It brings me comfort. Crunch some crackers in there. That's what I reach for. It brings me comfort. Now, Paul, he lived his life as an adult there, finding his comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how wonderful is that? And we can do that too. Many of us in this room who have experienced the love of Christ and asked Jesus into our life know that Jesus often seems to work in the slow cooker mode and not the microwave mode when it comes to providing some answers and some love. And sometimes we could be distracted. We could be wanting to find comfort, but we need to be careful of where we find the comfort, that we need to be reaching for things not of this world, but things that are heavenly. You see, our enemy, I think our enemy, he doesn't necessarily want us to bow down and worship him. No, Satan, our enemy, he wants us to take our eyes off of Jesus, off our Savior and the wonderful promises that he has given us. Our enemy wants to distract us. And when we're having a bad day, he might say, oh, just stop at the fast food on the way home for so you can just get that food. Or, oh, you know what? A new pair of shoes would be great. Or, you know what? You need something new for the garden, a bigger tractor or a bigger TV will make you happier, or a new car. And while those things can provide some comfort, kind of like this. You know, as a parent, I used to love taking my kids to the Dollar Tree saying, you can get whatever you want. But I knew that that toy was going to be broken in 15 minutes. But they were excited. They were reaching for things of comfort of this world and things. But we know that this doesn't last. And if I get the new iPhone, it's not going to last because a year or two, I'm going to want the newer one and different things like that. You see, when we reach for things of this world to comfort us in our times of distress, in our times of trouble, when we're going through a rough time, we are only going to get temporary happiness. Rather than reaching for things of this world, we need to be reaching for the promises that God has given us. You see, God has given us some wonderful things. And, you know, he has blessed us so richly. You see, the enemy, I think he wants us to what? He wants us to reach for things of this world. You see, the enemy here, all the way back at the beginning of time, he was like, what? Oh, reach for the knowledge of good and evil. Reach for things of this world, and it will give you happiness. But we know true happiness doesn't come from reaching for things of this world. No, true happiness comes instead. From reaching past the things of this world, when we reach to the gift of our Savior, the gift that God sent to us, who lived a perfect and flawless life, who was the perfect Lamb, who died on the cross for us to take away our sins, who was dead, buried. He arose again 3 days later, conquering death, walked among the people, and is now sitting at the right hand of God. We can celebrate, those of us who have taken that step to ask Jesus into our life, who has received that free gift, we get to celebrate every day because of that. We get to celebrate because God made us, because God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. We get to celebrate because Jesus wants to be our friend forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We get the opportunity to define the relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior. Some of us, myself included, I need to do that every day. Because I need to be reminded who I'm living for. Who's going to bring me comfort? Not temporary comfort that a new iPhone will do, but everlasting comfort. I need to realize that I am an influencer, that the way that I live my life impacts other people. Every day I get to choose, every situation I can choose. Am I going to rise, get out of my chair, and whine about this bad thing that happened to somebody else? Or am I going to rise and shine the light of Jesus in this situation? Will you pray with me? Precious Father, Lord, I thank you so much. Father, this is the first full day of spring and the sun is shining, Lord. Father, help it to be a reminder to each one of us, Lord, that today is a new day and we get to celebrate with you. When we walk out and look at some flowers starting to come out of the ground, Father, Lord, that it's a renewing season for us and for our relationship with you. Father, guide us in our endeavors. Father, may your light not only shine to us, but shine through us so others may see it. Our friends, our family, our neighbors, our co-workers. Father, help us to rise and shine through every circumstance. Father, may we honor you with our actions, with our voices. May we seek comfort from you and you alone. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen.